Good morning. Thank you, Kurt, for leading those songs. Thank the other men that have served God and on behalf of our congregation through prayers and the Lord's Supper. We'll be getting in now to our portion of the service where we will study a portion of God's Word. Before we do that, have a few prayer requests that have been sent in. Those of you that are visiting with us, we're very glad that you've taken the time, and we consider you to be our honored guest. We're glad that you're here to worship God with us, and we have some people from here in town. We have some people here on work temporarily. Kent, we've got a guy here from Houston, so that you guys can probably talk. He's here doing some construction projects, and we're very glad for all the visitors. Good note, we can finally claim Mark Eubank as one of us. It's funny, his visitor card last week, he finally got moved into his house, and his visitor card was visitor today, member tomorrow. So tomorrow's here. And he's finally gotten moved in, but he's been worshiping with us mostly for the last number of months. And there is no relation, although we're both extremely handsome devils. You probably think we have the same hairline. But no relation, but we welcome him. A couple of prayers that were sent in. Frank requested prayers for a man that preaches in India, a few hundred miles away from Vallan. His name is Rajinda Kumar, and he is going through some health issues right now. Sounds an awful lot like Vallan deals with a lot of the same issues that Vallan deals with as far as the different cultures and stuff that he has to face with Hindus and so forth. He also requests prayers for his sister-in-law, Holly. She is on her third round of chemotherapy, still in a lot of pain, and he requests prayers for her. And also, Sue Caffey requests prayers for Tim, who's homesick right now with a respiratory infection that seems to be just going around so much right now, the upper respiratory and the coughing and sniffling and sneezing and coughing and blowing and all that. So we will keep him in prayer. Let's go to God in prayer before we get into our lesson. Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you. We're thankful for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. We do not want our prayers being offered up to you to be hindered in any way. Dear God, we come to you on behalf of Tim, who's been sick. We hope that the rest and the medicines he's taking will get him back in good health soon, and that he's feeling better. We also ask that you be with Rajinda Kumar, who is a hard-working gospel preacher who's facing some health issues, going to the hospital and so forth. We pray for strength for him, not only for him himself, but for the work that he does in your kingdom. We pray for all the missionaries that we support, those that are in foreign lands doing your work, some of which under very hard conditions. Dear God, we also ask that you pray for Holly Bruno, dealing with cancer, and we hope that the effects of the chemo will be effective for dealing with the cancer and have minimal effects on the way she feels and on her. Dear God, we ask that you be with each and every one of us. We all deal with different issues, some physical, some spiritual. We ask that all the things that we do help us get closer to you and are pleasing in your sight. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. The last few weeks, we have been looking at a series on leadership. We started out some of the concepts, the general concepts of leadership. We looked at some of the examples in the Old Testament. Moses, the leadership that was on his shoulders. We've looked at the priest. We looked last week at the apostles, mostly the apostles, but we also looked at the scribes and the Pharisees, some of the bad examples of leadership that they exhibited. Today we're going to get into that of elders. That is what we're, the structure of leadership that we're in today. We kind of ended up our lesson last week looking at a period of time where there was a crossover. There were still apostles, and at a time when elders were starting to be incorporated in also, and there was a period of time where there were both. But now, after the apostles had died out, God's plan for his New Testament church is leadership through elders. There's three different words in the New Testament that apply to elders. One is episkopos, which is translated as a bishop or an overseer. Bishop is kind of a title term, where overseer is more of a descriptive term of what it is that they do. They're overseeing the workings, the day-to-day structure of the group. A word presbyteros, which is translated elder, and then the word poimen, which is translated shepherd. It's interesting that a word that is shepherd is used. That kind of goes along with the idea of an overseer, what it is you're doing. You're shepherding. An elder shepherds the flock. And we looked a great deal how in the Old Testament, God prepared Moses for 40 years as a shepherd before he was to lead God's people. And there is a lot of crossover, an awful lot of similarity in as far as the duties of both. The duties of an elder. It is spiritual leadership. Yes, they can also be involved with the day-to-day, last one out, turn off the lights type thing. But that's not their main duty. Their main duty is the spiritual leadership. Just like God had applied to Moses. Moses was to see that their spiritual guidance was there, and it was his responsibility to lead these people. And when you're shepherding a flock, you're more concerned with the spiritual aspect. It's not so much, in a lot of ways, we saw the apostles in the book of Acts. They are devoting themselves to the spiritual nature and to prayer and so forth. And they assigned other men to carry out day-to-day tasks. And the duties of an elder is mainly spiritual. They are to teach. And not only teach, but to defend sound doctrine. It's one thing to teach. You have to, Christians have to teach sound doctrine, but especially the elders. But it's not enough just to teach. When false doctrines arise, they have to also stand in the gap and defend the truth. Anybody can teach if they know the material. They can relate it, but defending it is another thing. And they teaching, although it is sometimes hard, it's easy. But to stand up and defend and be counted and protect, that's another thing. They are to correct. That's not always easy to do. To go to a brother or a sister and to correct teaching, to correct behavior. Why? For their spiritual guidance. Out of love. Anybody can point out, today the Super Bowl is being played. Tens of thousands, probably millions watching on TV. Anybody can point out he dropped the pass. He missed the block. He missed the tackle. Anybody can point that out. But done in the right way. And to teach how not to do those things. That is the job of an elder. Just like a parent, anybody can see that the child did something wrong. Teach them how not to do it wrong. Teach them and to do it right. Are you going to come down like a ton of bricks? Or are you going to teach it with loving, tender care? Discipline. Correction is one thing. But as we've seen in the Old Testament, as God said, these people are stiff-necked. They are rebellious. How do you discipline them when that comes across? A lot of times, people are really eager to jump to that part way too fast. Parents. Some parents are really eager to jump to the spanking portion first, or even worse, instead of the teaching and training. And last but not least, they are to protect the flock from without and sometimes from within. I think of the oath that our American politicians take when they're sworn in, that they're to protect and to defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. That's the same as an elder. Sometimes there's enemies outside the church that we have to be aware of and be ready to defend against. But sometimes the enemies come from within. And we need to be willing and not only recognize it and not let things slide, but also do things in the right way. You don't just lop somebody's head off, you know, for a minor infraction. In Acts 20, And on your outline, I think it says Acts 20, verse 28. This, I didn't include through 30 on the outline. But in Acts 20, we see Paul is addressing this issue. And he says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. He's encouraging the elders in Ephesus here. He says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. A number of things here. It sure is not going to be done under Paul's watch, but he's not going to be around all the time. And he's encouraging these elders. It's going to be on you. You shepherd the flock. You watch from enemies outside of the church and enemies that might rise up from within the church. Selfish men, leaders that want people to come after them. We looked at the difference last week between the scribes and the Pharisees and John the Baptist. The scribes and the Pharisees, even though they had that religious knowledge, some of them recognized this probably is the Christ. But because they didn't want to be put out of synagogues and because they desired the praise of men more than the praise of God, they didn't confess him. They didn't follow after Jesus. Where John the Baptist had the attitude, he must increase and I must decrease. Here are some people that are going to be rising up from among themselves, trying to draw people away to themselves, bringing division amongst the church. And Paul is warning the elders, you be on the lookout for that. In 1 Peter, and this was the passage that Puka read earlier, the Apostle Paul was also, as we discussed last week, was also an elder. He says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. How? Not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Those two verses say a ton of information. It shows the kind of men and how they are to lead. That you're not doing it out of compulsion. Willingly. You're not doing it for what you can get out of it. Not for dishonest gain. The elders of a congregation are going to be in a position where being in a position of leadership, they might have resources at their disposal. People, funds, material possessions, and they're not to take advantage of that. It's not there. They are stewards of what God has given them. Do it for as eager servants and not being lords over. There's a big difference between a leader and somebody in charge. A lot of times somebody in charge wants to just sit and bark orders. Do this, do that. But a proper godly leader doesn't lord it over them. And they're entrusted. God is entrusting them with the people, with the flock, and they are to be examples to the flock. The best leaders are the best examples. Not like Jesus said about the scribes and Pharisees last week. The things they tell you to do, do. They're telling you the right things, but don't do as they live. Do as they say, but sure don't follow their example. An elder should be a good example. To lead, you have to know the flock. It's not a CEO position. A lot of times a CEO just kind of sits up at the top and at the top level of the building and just kind of directs things. You've got to know the flock. A good shepherd knows the sheep. Being an elder is not a position of, it is a position of praise, but it's not a position, a high position of royalty type situation. It's one of sacrifice. A lot of people want to be in charge. There's a lot of people I've seen in my life as a Christian. I want to be an elder. I want to be in charge. They are the last one you need to be in that position. It's one of sacrifice. A good elder is probably the biggest servant of the congregation. Well, I want to be an elder, so I better start getting with the program and showing all that I'm doing. You demonstrate it as a life, and then you become an elder. You don't turn on the switch when you want to be the elder. It's one of duty. A lot of people see duty as a dirty word. Duty is a sacred word. Duty to serve God. That it's your duty. It's our duty to worship. It's our duty to take the Lord's Supper. And like that verse that we just read, not by compulsion. Oh, I've got to go to church. It's an honor. It's our duty we get to. And it's full of hard work and criticism. Seems like every decision, it's kind of like a referee, you know, in a game. Every decision a referee makes, somebody doesn't like it. A lot of times an elder, by the way they lead, they're going to disappoint some. Chances are, and hopefully, if they're a proper leader, they're making the mature decision. And that the ones that would be unhappy are immature. In Titus 5, Paul wrote to Titus and says, "For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking. And appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." Having elders is the structure that God desires. God has designed a congregation to have elders. The church, the Christians in Crete, we're doing good. But you know what? You don't have elders. You don't have elders. It is lacking that. Now, the church at South Valley is doing good, but it doesn't have elders. We are lacking in that area. And we're not structured the way God has designed. Now, the worst thing you could do is to try to pound a square peg in a round hole and force somebody, well, Well, let's just get somebody in there to have elders to be pleasing to God. They were doing good, but they needed elders. And Paul will provide them with holy, inspired qualifications of what these men should be. The qualifications, we've got it in two different places, in 1 Timothy and in Titus. The verses right after we just read, verse 5, where he says, you need to go to Crete and set in order the things that are lacking. The way I've kind of divided it out, there's other ways to look at it. In these qualifications about what an elder should be, they kind of fall into three different categories as I see it. One of character. You cannot be a leader of God's people without proper godly character. Character is very important. And the area of the qualifications that fall mostly into character. Another is family responsibilities, the family structure, and also spiritual maturity. And we will be looking at these. I'd like to finish up our lesson today looking at the qualifications, and then next week we will look how these three different categories fall into place of character, family, and maturity. In 1 Timothy, Paul would write to his beloved Timothy in chapter 3, and he says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And then we see in Titus some very similar phrasings, but a little bit different twist. He's saying to Titus, in many ways, the same qualifications. There, it's not like, Titus, I want you to look for these qualities, and Timothy, you look for these. It's not that. They're the same. You notice God doesn't change his mind on these things. They are set. And I want to point out, even though we are no longer under the Old Testament, we've looked at leadership in the Old Testament. God was very, very specific. And he demanded obedience. Demanded. He didn't allow people from the tribe of Benjamin to serve as the priest, even though brother so-and-so might have been a great priest. He might have done it better than the people of the tribe of Levi. They're not accepted. The people of Israel didn't try to justify and go above or below or outside of anything God didn't prescribe. In Titus, right after he says, I've left you in Crete for this reason, says, if a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Elders, they are our spiritual leadership as God designed for these times. It is one of service and often a lot of criticism. It is the responsibility of an elder to guide and to lead a congregation in the direction they should be going, to be able to teach and defend sound doctrine, to correct discipline, and to protect the flock. To protect the flock from without, and sometimes, unfortunately, from within. If you notice the qualifications that Paul gave Titus and Timothy, they are qualities, most of them are the qualities that all Christians should follow anyway. All elders have to be sound Christians, but not all sound Christians will get the opportunity to be an elder. We will look next week, we will start looking at those categories of character, family, and spiritual maturity. If there is any thing that we can do for you, if you need prayers of the congregation, if there is sin in your life that you need to repent of, if there are those of you that have been studying and you realize that you need to put your Lord on in baptism to become a Christian, we can help. We can help you in any way, please let us know. Kurt's going to lead us in the invitation song in just a moment. If we can be of service to you, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation song. Let's all stand and sing.